Welcome to another edition of the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape Series. On this tape, you will hear Joe interview Mark Victor Hansen. Mark is America's master motivator. In the area of human potential, no one is better known and more respected than Mark Victor Hansen. No doubt you've heard of Mark. He is the co-creator of the widely successful Chicken Soup for the Soul series, a collection of books that Time magazine calls the publishing phenomenon of the decade. His books have collectively sold over 55 million copies worldwide, making it one of the most successful publishing franchises in America today. And Mark's inspirational message has reached far beyond the audiences he speaks to and the books he's co-authored. Mark has been seen by millions on television shows such as Oprah, CNN, QVC, The Today Show, Hard Copy, and PBS. In addition, he has been featured or appeared on the cover of dozens of national magazines and newspapers such as Entrepreneur, Success, Time, U.S. News and World Report, USA Today, and The Washington Post. In more than 2,500 dynamic and inspiring presentations, Mark's message has reached over 2 million people in 35 countries and virtually every major city across America. Now, let's join Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing, as he interviews America's master motivator, Mark Victor Hansen, over the telephone.
Hello, friends and Piranha members. This is Joe Polish. Welcome to another edition of the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape Series. Today, I have got an interview that I've been looking very forward to doing. It's with Mr. Mark Victor Hansen, who, along with Jack Canfield, co-authored and wrote the book Chicken Soup for the Soul and all the series of Chicken Soup for the Soul books that you see everywhere. They have sold 55 million books at this point at the time of this interview, which makes it the largest nonfiction book in the history of the world, and I'm sure it will just sell millions and millions more because they're so inspirational and so many people's lives have been changed for the better because of these books. And today I'm going to talk with Mark about success and about failure and how to improve not only your business but your life. And so, Mark, can you hear me okay?
Perfectly. I'm excited to do this interview because I know you're dealing with best people in the world, which are the entrepreneurs.
Exactly. So thanks. And I want to thank you first off for taking the time to do this interview. I know it's going to be fantastic.
My great honor.
Thank you. First off, all the listeners are probably going to want to know a little bit about your background, what made Mark Victor Hansen the person he is today, and where'd you start off at?
Well, I've been selling since I was 9 years old. My dad took us to Denmark, and I got addicted to low handlebar racing bicycles rather than just learning Danish. And desperately wanted to have one. And you know, after beating on them and getting them from 21 to 16 down to you can have it if you earn it yourself, I saw an ad that I could sell greeting cards on consignment from the Boy Scouts. And I thought, what a cool idea. So I got some, and my mother told me to just smile at everybody in the neighborhood. And I went around, and it worked so well in the neighborhood, I sold 376 boxes, got $1 a box in 1 month, and raised enough money to buy. My dad took half the money, put it towards my college fund, which retrospectively is really important and interesting. But, you know, since then I teach everybody you got to save 10% of your income is one of the many principles I'd like to teach here.
Yeah, and I actually would like to have you talk about that. It's funny that you say that. When I was first starting out as an entrepreneur, I started out pretty early, too. I sold newspaper subscriptions door-to-door, and out of a couple thousand newspaper carriers in the Phoenix, Arizona area, I won a trip to Disneyland because I was a top newspaper salesperson door-to-door. So I think I had the entrepreneurial bug in me really early on.
And by the way, let's go there for a second. I want every kid to be an entrepreneur. At two levels. One is little kids. Any kid under 19, we have the Mark Victor Hansen Children's Free Enterprise Bank. They can just call or write my office. We'll lend money not to go to college, but to do a business deal. Like a little kid, you know, contacted me and said, look, Mark, my name's Tommy Ty, and I'm 6 years old, and since I was four, I had this vision to do a bumper sticker that said, peace, please, do us first, kids, sign Tommy. I said, well, you know, the principles I teach, you figure out what you want, you know, you got to put it in writing, and you wrote out a 10-point plan. Meet Mark Victor Hansen, hit him up for a loan, offer baseball cards as collateral. Number 10, sell a million bumper stickers. So you had a good goal plan. You got to visualize, and then you got to mastermind or dream team it with somebody. And I said, I'll dream team it with you. Ends up little Tommy Ty listens. We gave him all my tapes. His daddy came over. We lent him $454 to do the bumper stickers. His dad's a lovely blue-collar guy. And said, what if the kid doesn't pay? I said, knock on wood, every kid is born honest, ethical, and moral. They got to be taught to go sideways. He'll pay back. Don't worry. And so he listened to my tapes, and I got a set of tapes called Sell Yourself Rich, which teaches all the ways to prospect, 12 ways to network, 38 ways to close a sale. He listens relentlessly, like it says. Just listen for 21 days until you take ownership of each one of these major ideas. Well, he It says start selling at the top. He goes up to Ronald Reagan's house, knocks at the door. He's just come out of the White House. Gatekeeper says, hold on, kid, here's $1.50. I'll buy one, but let me get the former president. He'd like this. Ronnie comes out, shakes his hand. This is before Alzheimer's, and said, I understand you're causing peace in the world. He said, that'll be $1.50, Mr. President. I said, why did you ask him to buy? Him, you're supposed to give one to. He says, you said ask everyone to buy. I said, I'm guilty.
That's funny.
He sends one to Gorbachev with a bill for $1.50. Gorby is still running Russia. This is 7 or 8 years ago, I guess. And Gorby sends him back a signed autograph picture that says, go for peace, Tommy, signed President Gorbachev. I said, Tommy, I collect autographs. I'll give you $500 for that. He said, no thanks, Mark. I said, Tommy, when you get older, you're the best little salesman I've ever met. You've got hustle, verve, vitality, joyous spirit, everything good. Tell you what, I want to hire you. He said, are you kidding me? When I'm older, I'm hiring you. Now, I live in Newport Beach, California, but in Orange County, our biggest paper is a Register. They do a front page feature section on Tommy, the kids bank, and me. Well, people start faxing it all over the place. Head of the card company that's got a good USP, when you care enough, you send the very best, Hallmark. Joyce Hall calls up, he's still alive, and says, Mark, this kid has got goals, and I got 11,000 franchisees. They don't have any goals. I said, I want you to, he said, book this kid to our 11,000 franchisees. I said, I don't have a contract. I tell you what, I got a conference phone, we'll dial up. But remember, Mr. Hall, he may reject you because he doesn't know that you're a, you know, running a $38 billion or whatever it is paper business, and you're the grand high poobah of greeting cards in the whole wide world. He owns crayons and all kinds of cool businesses. Did you know they own crayons?
I had no idea.
Yeah, they own all kinds of cool businesses, and they're privately held, so no one knows what the hell they're doing. But I've been out there 3 or 4 times. So, yeah, as a result of this. So Tommy gets on the line, and it's time to negotiate. Hall uses a word, and Tommy says, Mark, let's negotiate. I said, we're going to ask for the money. He said, how much should I ask for? I said, $2,000. Tommy says, not enough. What a good idea. Next day, he gets called by Joan Rivers, and Joni says, she's still got her TV show in New York, and says, I want you to come out. Somebody faxed the story in, and I'll pay you $300. He said, that's real, real nice. Now, I'm in parentheses for a second. This kid's been listening to my Sell Yourself Rich tapes. One of the closes I teach, and I teach that every sales close you learn earns you an extra $10,000 to $100,000 a year. This kid has memorized this one close called an NT close. You put a NT phrase at the beginning, middle, or end of a sentence, it forces a person to say yes, doesn't it, Joe?
Yes.
So Joni doesn't know that this kid's armed for bear. And he says, that's real, real nice, Joan, but I can't come alone. You can't afford to have my mother come out with me, can't you? And he's nodding his head up and down and saying that. And she says, yeah. And says, by the way, I just saw Lifestyles of Rich and Famous, and it says here you're supposed to stay at the Trump Plaza. You'll get us a room there, won't you? And she said, yeah, I guess I could do that. And said, Mommy doesn't drive, so could we have your limo for the day? And said, yeah, I guess. And says, you'll get us tickets to the Empire State Building and Statue of Liberty, won't you? And
that kid, is funny.
Is this cool?
Totally.
Kid gets 28 concessions. Now, we're talking about a six-year-old. You know, and everyone says, well, it's hard to sell, and, you know, you got to be sophisticated and old and adult. Bull. I think every kid in the world should learn the principles on Sell Yourself Rich, my little set of tapes. Anyhow, goes on the show. He's supposed to be on 5 minutes, and he starts telling all the stories of all the cool stuff that happened. Like he got with the Angels baseball team because he's a keen, you know, somebody heard that he loves the baseball.
Uh-huh.
So he gets with the Angels, and he says, you know, I owe my buddy Mark $1 a day, $30 a month, or he's going to foreclose on me. You guys got to buy some bumper stickers. I know the lowest paid guy here gets $1 million too. I know you can buy 30 bumper stickers, and I want them, 30 bumper stickers each, and you are going to pay me in cash or check or everything. And, you know, he puts out his little hand, and then he says, you know, Joni, you haven't paid for your bumper sticker, and it is $1.50. And she's got tears, and she's going in her purse, and they videotaped the whole audience going in her purse, and the cameramen are pulling out $1.50 because, you know, this kid's serious. He owes Mark, you know, $1 at the equivalent, and they're all feeling empathetic toward this little kid who's just trying to cause peace in the world. And then all of a sudden, the executive producer, kid's gone 25 minutes, supposed to have 5 minutes on the show just because he's adorable. He met President George Bush, got to go to the White House, and said, Mr. President, we need to find, you know, under the American flag in the top of the White House, you need to do this flag called Peace, Please Do It For Us Kids, sign Tommy, and he got to fly the flag. I mean, just doing, he did on real stuff because he's 6 years old, listened to my tapes, didn't know he couldn't do all this cool stuff. Nobody had shut down his self-esteem yet, and it still hasn't. And, you know, he's got a big trust fund that we put all his money in that. And, cool. So
that's unbelievable. That's great. You said a good point. Is he didn't know he couldn't do it yet.
Like, yeah, and those of your listeners, you know, they don't know that they can't pull off real magic. And if they do, let's get them back out of it so they can do it. You know, listen to my tapes, your tapes, all this kind of stuff gets people thinking and growing and glowing. So the executive producer's over there going, cut, 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 get that kid out of here. Joni, he's taking 25 minutes. There's been no commercial. Joni's got tears in her eyes, leans in, and the kid couldn't have been better. Says, come on, she's holding up his little bumper sticker, "Peace, please do it for us kids." I said, "Come on, Tommy, do you really think this bumper sticker can cause peace in the world?" He said, "So far, Joni, I got the Berlin Wall down. I'm doing pretty good, don't you think?"
That is funny.
See, and I'm telling you, every one of your superstar listeners has got a Berlin Wall in their life. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Now, it's metaphorical, and the deal here is that fear is negative imaging and negative thinking, and what you do is you fear is faith in the wrong things. So when we overcome our fears and have faith in the right things, we go out and get pronounced, glorious, great, grand, and terrific results.
Yes. So starting early on, what do you think that all the listeners could do with their children and anyone that is young to influence them in a direction to light their fire, just like happened with that little kid that you just described?
Well, we have this story in our books if they don't want to listen to my tapes. But, you know, if they listen to the tapes, I've got that story on theirs or this tape. Let's share it. I want to lend money to every kid in America. We've got no lack of money. There's no lack of money in America. There's no lack of ideas. And if we got every kid in America doing entrepreneurial stuff, we'd be home. And I said part B is, I'm doing a video now. We're not done with it, but we're going to do it sometime next year called How to Graduate College Debt-Free, and that's going to hit a whole hot button of some of the people. And, you know, we do the chicken soup for the college soul that will keep kids in school, because only 1 in 10 that go to college stay in college and graduate in 4 years. That sucks. I know some of your listeners have not gone to school, and I'm not picking on them. They're getting the right education now. They're getting a self-education, and they're becoming self-reliant to action. But if their kids can stand on their shoulders and get more of an education, great. So a lot of kids say, well, I would, but I haven't got the money in that. So our book will keep them in school, but what we're doing with this video is that kid wants to go to UCLA, has no money, his parents are dead. So he looks around and sees that, holy cow, find a need and fill it, or find a want and fill it, Bernard Brooks' old line.
Yeah.
And he said, there's no parking. I'll park cars. And he gets an insurance policy, and he hires other kids to park cars, charges $2 for a kid to park a guy's car all day long, pays a dollar to the car jockey. He makes $175,000 a year going through undergraduate and ultimately graduate a lawyer. But that's the lowest he ever made, parking cars.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is ideas are abundant. I teach four principles. So figure out what you want. And if you want to get rich and you've never written down, I'm on schedule to be a millionaire, point number two is put it in writing. Write down on a 3x5 card, I'm on schedule to be a millionaire. And then just look at it four times a day. You sign it. Get somebody that matters to you, your spouse or your business partner, to sign it. So you look at it on a regular four times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and before you go to sleep. Carry it wrapped in a $100 bill, because if you feel prosperous, you get more prosperous. Three, you got to visualize whatever you want to realize it. Jack and I interviewed the 101 best-selling authors, everyone from James Michener to Dr. Scott Peck, who wrote Road Less Traveled. And Scott had been 12 years on the New York Times bestseller list, made $40 million selling those books. So after we interviewed him, I looked at Jack and I said, look, we're cutting that out. We white out where Scott is. We put in chicken soup for the soul. And we put it on the mirror in my office, in your office, my home, in your home. And then every time you're doing your makeup or combing your hair or shaving, what are you doing? You're looking at this thing, and it goes through the portal of the pupil into the depth of the soul. And now Jack and I wrote a book, two books. One is called The Aladdin Factor, How to Ask For and Get What You Want. And we go into depth on this. And the other one is Dare to Win. But the bottom line principle is the minute you got a goal and you put it on your mirror and you look at it, even subliminally, it goes through. If it hits the portal of the pupil, the 18 billion brain cells, it triggers. It figures out how to do it, and you go out and do real magic. Is that cool or is that cool?
That is very cool. Absolutely.
Let me do a third level. I'm finishing a set of tapes now. By the time your listeners listen to it, I tape it tomorrow, as a matter of fact, called How to Think Bigger Than You Ever Thought You Could Think. And I've done great chapters. It starts a blast off. Second one is on, you know, second side of the tape is Convert Your Fear into Rocket Fuel, all the way to Camelot Realized. But the story that I go through is about Dr. George Washington Carver. Here's a black man who's born a slave, 1864. He can't get into school until he's 11 years old, goes through and reads The Blue Black Speller. It's the only book he could read. Ends up getting a degree in agriculture from University of Iowa. Gets invited by Booker T. Washington to come down to Tuskegee to teach agriculture to black people. And he wrote down that that's my dream, is to help my people get free. And he gets down there. Several things. First of all, there's one brick building, and he's come from a school that's got beautiful grounds, beautiful buildings, you know, whole building for architecture. Now, at Tuskegee, there's one building, and now he's got all these young wannabe agricultural students, and they're giving him a hassle and say, look, we don't have any labs, we don't have any this. He says, quit whining and crying. Get bottles, get string, get everything. And what we're going to do is we're going to convert this problem, and the boll weevil comes through and wipes out all the cotton, and the black farmers are devastated. And he checks the ground, and he finds out that the ground lacks nitrogen. So what he decides to do is he plants, first of all, sweet potatoes, and then any legume, and then peanuts. Peanuts grow underground. Did you know that?
Actually, yes, I did.
So they suck the nitrogen through the plant during photosynthesis right into the ground, and they re-nitrogenize the soil, so he has them plant sweet potatoes, and now they got sweet potatoes and have nowhere to sell them, so he got locks himself in a lab. Here's just little Dr. George Washington Carver deciding to do it, and I was just down there. If you haven't visited Tuskegee and gone through his lab, he was a man diminutive in height. When he was born, he had bulging eyes and sort of looked like a brown bug, it said in his own book. He wrote that.
Wow.
And now here's this guy who says, I got sweet potatoes and no use. So he comes up with 100 uses for the sweet potato. And then he discovers peanuts will re-nitrogenize the soil so we can go back to growing cotton and tobacco, as they called it, tobacco. And he finds out 300 uses for peanuts, like everyone knows he created peanut butter. What I'm saying is the entrepreneurs you got listening, we need more Carver-like thinking, and every one of us is born rich. And now he goes to the U.S. Congress. Remember, this is the height of racism. We're talking about right after the Civil War. Half the people in there are not digging having a black man be successful. And I'm not racist, but, you know, he's supposed to go on first thing in the morning, 15 minutes. They hold him up, finally let him in at 5 o'clock, and they're going to give him 15 minutes, and he ends up spending an hour and a half with him, and they start by calling him derogatory names. How the heck can I blah, 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 you know, do all this. And he says, well, I just talked to the man who made the peanut, who wrote the book, and they said, what book is that? And he said, the Bible. And he said, by reading the Bible, I figured out that I've got infinite capacity. I'm made in the image and likeness, and I can pull this off. And I'm not just supposed to pull it off for me. I'm supposed to pull it off for everyone here. And every one of us is supposed to use our mind. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or red or yellow. It matters that you decide you're going to matter. Is that cool?
That's very cool. It's an amazing story.
Isn't it? So my whole point is you've got all these people out there that are doing good in business, because I defined an entrepreneur as somebody who creates massive value for other people.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
We've obviously done that by, we've sold $500 million worth of books in 5 years. That's a record. Nobody's ever done that before, as far as I know. I'm not competing with the Bible. I don't put us in the same category. That's not it. But the fact of the matter is that we did that, and then we decided to license more than anyone else. We have thousands of people that are directly and indirectly working for us, 33,000 people at bookstores. The average bookstore has 17 people in it. You know, and they say, boy, you kept our bookstore open because people started coming back in here and buying books. You go, this is really cool. And I'm saying, be like George Washington Carver. I'm not asking you to figure out the peanut unless you're an agriculturist or an agronomist or something like that. But every one of us, you use your business to give you enough money so you can do what your real talent is. And I'm telling you, every one of us has an assignment from God, right? I mean, remember when we watched that Blues Brother? We're on an assignment from God. Don't you think you're on an assignment from God?
Yes, there's
one more thing. You came from lower than scratch, isn't that true?
Yes.
Or the other side of scratch? And you and I have both been so low we had to reach up to touch bottom.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is you got a lot of listeners out there that are saying, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, here's a psychiatrist question. If you knew what you were supposed to do, what would you supposed to be doing? And what I'm supposed to do is, you know, write, communicate, inspire, you know, shake people's cage, so to speak, rattle our cage and be a gadfly, so they understand that they're supposed to go onward, upward, goodward, Godward, and greatward, and go do stuff that they didn't believe they could do.
Well, you talk about that, you know, people should take out a piece of paper and sit down and write, who am I? Is that the place to begin to figure out which direction to go? What is their purpose?
Yeah, what I want them to do right now is I want them to write 101 goals. I want them to write big goals, small goals, little goals, side goals, tangible goals, intangible goals. And what I want them to do is I want them to pretend they're 12 years old. I got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old at home, and a 12-year-old knows everything. I mean, they just are what the highfalutin term is sophomoric. You know, and what happens is they're trying to stretch their independence, become self-reliant, all that. And they're doing the right thing. God set it up, I guess, that way. But I asked my 12-year-old, set goals. First thing she writes, I want an Arabian horse. But I want you to write 101 goals. Just give yourself 20 minutes. It's like, you know, if you said, I'm going to write 3 goals in 10 minutes, you'll do it. If your life depends on it, or worse or better, your kid's life or wife's life depends on it, or spouse's life, you just say 20 minutes and you go, and they wrote it. The first thing my little daughter wrote down was, I want a white Arabian horse. I said, that's great, Elizabeth. You can have it. But my immigrant daddy said, pride of ownership follows pride of earnership. You can have it if you pay for it yourself. She finds Joe this totally derelict horse. It's got cancer. It's got one eyeball hanging out. It's got leukemia in its salivary glands. The horse is derelict. Dr. Jack Canfield and I own an herb company, and if anyone wants to know about herbs, we'll gladly send out tapes. They've got to call 800-433-2393, and we own the 65th fastest-growing company in America. And we got herbs to get rid of diabetes, arthrongus, I call it, because it shouldn't be arthritis, because what you do is detox the cell and health comes back. We're dealing with the cause itself. You know, heart attack, stroke. If your parents died of that stuff, you got to be taking it. So Elizabeth, she goes by Lizzie, says, Daddy, you and Jack have that herb to get rid of cancer called Red Clover Plus, and it detoxes the liver, detoxes the blood. And if it works in a human, wouldn't it work in a horse? I said, sweetheart, I learned in graduate school physiology that, you know, all metabolic systems, all body systems are basically the same, but let's check it out with a vet. Check it out with a vet. You know, she's buying a horse that should be ready for the hoof factory. I said, honey, if the horse dies, you're going to have to dig the hole and bury it. That's the way it goes. She said, I'll do it, Daddy. She gives this horse Red Clover Plus, takes a derelict horse, a $500 horse, turns it into a prize-winning horse that wins blue ribbons at least once a month with her on it. And it's now worth $35,000. That's what I'm saying is let a kid create massive value in the zone that they're in. I don't love horses. I mean, I don't dislike them, but I mean, my wife loves horses. My daughters both own their own horse, one wild Mustang that we tamed, and the other is this Arabian that is just superstar horse. Are you tracking with me?
Yes, absolutely.
And what I'm saying is that every kid's got some penchant. You come in with it. I don't know what it is, but if you go into the quietude of your own mind and say, you know, what is my unique talent? Sort of like what Dan Sullivan said. And then the second part, I think, is the harder part. Where am I weak? And then what I say, the fourth point is, I tell all my audiences, extend your two index fingers, put them together, and look at them. And you say, 1 and 1 equals 11. And the principle is, when you get your team together, you get your dream together. And then Mark Jack team, I'm an outside guy. Jack's an inside guy. I'm a macro thinker. He's a micro thinker.
And define the two.
A macro thinker is a big picture thinker. I think globally, and that's why we are number one in 39 countries, like we're number one in China, number one selling in Japan, number one in Israel. And, you know, we figure out strategies to be number one in England and, you know, stuff no one's ever tried to do because everyone else has been trying to sell locally. But with the Internet, we're all intrinsically global. We live in a little spaceship called Earth. And what your people need to do, let my people know, is that what we got to let everyone listening out there know is there's 6 billion people and they want to buy American, Joe.
They do. Absolutely.
And you say, well, I'm not ready for the Internet. You could go up with almost anything. If it's American and you have a way to get people to come to you, they'll buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, let me mention one thing. You said write down 101 goals, and I know that 101 is a spiritual number, but I don't know where that comes from. Where does that come from, and how much did a spiritual component play in the success of everything that you've done since you did mention that?
Well, Jack and I are in the soul and spirit and heart business, and we want to touch people's hearts and souls. And the 101 goals, what happens is most people only have one goal, and that weakens them. And then I want to tell you what we're going to do with the goals. But you want to write 101 goals. You want to Xerox a copy tomorrow, send it to me at Mark Victor Hansen, 711 West 17th Street, Suite D like dollar two, Costa Mesa, COSTAMESA, means tabletop by the sea, California, 92627, or you can fax it to us at 949-722-6912. Do a copy. We're going to do three things with it. Number one is a year from today, I get it, we mail it back to you. When you look at your 101 goals, you're going to go, because 70 or 80% of them will come true and they'll just click. You'll have new relationships, new responsibilities, new business. Like I said, if you haven't written down your own schedule to be a millionaire, write it down. Your subconscious starts to go beep, 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 and find your right way. And the money freedom is so you can get all the rest of your freedoms up to your genius freedom, as I'm sure Dan Sullivan talked about. Did he talk about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. On the interview we did, definitely.
And what I'm saying is everybody's born genius. And what happens is that all I want to do is help everyone throw away their de-geniusness that we got from our friends, relatives, peers, church, media, whatever, and get back to saying, hey, what is the cool stuff that I could do to make a contribution? And you get the money so you can go do the things like, in my case, plant the trees, feed unfed humanity. I want to give everybody in humanity a house. You know, all the cool stuff that no one's ever thought of doing before. And like what you and I were talking about, doing some charity. And one of the things, there's 1,800,000 prisoners. And we had a prisoner write us and said, dear Mark and Jack, I've been in a slammer 5 years, contemplating the ideal crime, killing the guy who put me here. I want to get out of here in 5 years because my sister sent me your book and I read it 6 times. I no longer want to kill that guy.
Wow.
So we want one of our books in the hands of everybody. So, you know, we want to figure out how do we raise enough money to, you know, we need like $4 million to give away that many books.
Yeah. But if you do it, that will change the world. So that is definitely a goal that needs to happen.
Yeah, let me talk about that, and then we'll go back to goal setting. In Japan, they do their penal system right. We do ours wrong, as far as I'm concerned. We let them watch whatever they want on TV, read whatever they want. In Japan, they have a conversion experience because they have good input, so they only get good output. Isn't that a good idea?
Yes, it's a very good idea.
And maybe chicken soup isn't the right input, but I it's pretty good. Or
well, I couldn't think of anything better at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I can't either. So there's a lot of other stuff I'd add on to this. You know, there's a lot of great books out there, but America is unique, and I want your listeners to listen close on this one. We're the only country in the world with self-help action books, and if you haven't read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, you need to read it. If you haven't read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, you got to read it. If you haven't read Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman in the World, these are all people that I know or know deeply and intimately and have done stuff with one way or another. or with their organizations if they're dead. And, you know, Steve Covey's Seven Habits, this is all great stuff that just will do wonders for lots of people.
Yeah, and I mean, the people that are actively involved in reading and learning from the experiences of others, those are the ones that seem to have the happiest lives and make the most money and also raise the best children.
Yeah, well, let me talk to that just for 1 second. I am honored beyond the honor. I mean, everybody listening is an entrepreneur, and I've just been given the highest accolade anyone going from rags to riches can get. It's the Horatio Alger Award for Distinguished Americans. I mean, Ted Turner got it, Bob Hope got it, Ed McMahon got it, and this year, Tom Selleck and Mark Hansen get it, and May 5th, for 3 days, we're in Washington, D.C., getting to go to the White House and the Library of Congress. Anyhow, any of your people that raise a little bit of money, it costs $5,000 a seat to come to the function, come and go to the Horatio Alger Awards. Now, a lot of people out there going, and then you got to pay for travel and a hotel and food and all that, and get a rent a tuxedo. What's the benefit? The benefit is you're going to be with the who's who. You're going to be with Wayne Huizinga, the guy who started Blockbuster, the guy who started the biggest garbage company in America. You're going to be with the business movers, shakers, and moneymakers of our time, and you become like the people you associate with. So if you're the biggest hot dog in your business, then you're a weenie. You need to keep hanging out with people that are doing vastly more than you, and forget that it costs $5,000 for a table for dinner for one night. All that money goes to charity, so it's a tax write-off. The deal is make it a goal to be there. And you're going to have to do it pretty quick. You got to make the decision. And you can call my office, 800-433-2314. Talk to my executive assistant, Laura Rush, and see if she can get you a seat there. Because it always sells out every year. Because you got Mary Kay Ash there. You got, you know, and they all come back every year because they've all done it. Maya Angelou. I mean, you just get the who's who of the world show up for 3 days for the Horatio Alger Award. And isn't that something that you'd like to show up at?
Absolutely.
I mean, our friend John Assaraf, who, you know, is a guy that never finished high school, that did $1.8 billion in Remax, and then he just created a little company in 9 months with a few other guys called Bamboo.com, and they went public after 9 months for $500 million. I mean, he's going to come. I mean, it just, isn't that the place that you want to show up if you're going to be a real business person?
Exactly, and those are the people you want to hang out with.
Yeah, and what we do is all the money they raise in this thing goes towards making kids get scholarships so they learn about business, so we keep America green and growing, because America's got the best power. It's got green power. Money-making power.
Yeah, you know, what's so great is even at this point into this interview, you have already given out a couple of so many very profound things that they can actually do. And I'll be curious to see how many people actually send you their list of goals, call up and talk to Laura, and make it to that dinner. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll send you our catalog of all the cool stuff that we've got. So we want everybody on our mailing list. We want them to go to our website because we're going to keep improving it and do what's called streaming video and audio, because everybody can be greater than they are. That's the point. That's what I've learned. When I went bankrupt and upside down, you know, I started listening to these kind of tapes, and I got it, that everybody's made in the image and likeness of God. So you're made with good stuff, God stuff. And what happens is what you need to do is keep inputting it. So, you know, your listeners need to listen to this tape 21 times until they take ownership and they say, hey, wait a second. I am really the CEO of my life. I am really the president of my future. I am really the COO, chief operating officer of wherever I want to take myself. And then how big can it be? I mean, when Jack and I couldn't get anyone to publish us, we went to New York with a top agent. 33 publishers said, hit the road, Jack. I said, do I have to go too? And then we went to the American Booksellers Association. Jack calls up. I've been on the road 17 days in a row speaking, and I'm burned out. It's May. And he says, look, we're going to the book fair, and we're selling this thing. We've worked on it 3 years. We're not giving up now. I said, man, if I'm out another day, my wife will kill me. I had no idea what the book meeting, it's not called a Book Expo of America, the next one's in Chicago. It's something you need to go to because they give you free books, 60,000 people show up. And, you know, everyone needs to be reading more than they've been reading. But I go to this thing because my parents were language illiterate Danes, but I went to this thing and I've always wanted to read, and I was like having an intellectual orgasm. I mean, you know, they sell $25 billion worth of books to all these people, and it was just, I was looking around and I was in awe, and all the big authors are there. The former presidents are there. Margie Thatcher's there. Muhammad Ali's there. The top cartoonists are there. Dilbert's there. You name it, the who's who of the world end up writing a book, which I want all your people to do. And I did a whole set of tapes on how to build a speaking writing empire. And Jack and I teach 33 ways to write a best-selling book. And why do you want a book? Because it gives you mega credibility.
Yes, exactly.
But we went there, and we went to 134 more booths, and they all said, get out of here. And I teach that when you get rejected, make yourself stronger and say next, and go on to the next and the next and the next. Because you don't get paid for success. I learned from Ross Perot, you get paid for rejection. After he got fired from IBM for making $287,000 33 years ago in 17 days, made more than the chairman, he got fired. So he starts his own company, EDS, calls on 80 people. Everyone said no. He kept saying next, next, next. 81st one, he got $4 million. You divide 80 into 4 million. He got paid $50,000 every time he said next.
I want the listeners to really get what you just said there. I mean, that rejection, everybody gets rejected, so you got to count on it, is what you say, and that you have to know how to deal with it, and that one of the most important words is the word next. Elaborate on that a little bit, because I think that is so very important, too.
What happens is you got to be like a little kid. Most of your listeners probably have children, and when a child, when you say no to a kid that knows you love him or her, what does it mean? It means nothing. And that's the way you got to do it when you get rejected. If you're getting rejected, it means you one of two things. They may not have the money. They may not have the need. But more often than not, you haven't created enough massive value. So it's so valuable that price becomes irrelevant. Because in the buyer's eye, you got price and value. And then what Joe's asking me to tell you is that if you go to Eleanor Roosevelt's house, and I hope you go to all the great mansions. I hope you come out here to California and be a tourist. And you go to William Randolph Hearst Mansion, which when Ronald Reagan went there, it's such an extravagant place, San Simeon. He said God would live this way if he could only afford to. And then you go to John Paul Getty's museum and see $4 billion worth of art for free. It doesn't cost you anything because this guy gave his whole wealth to that. You know, and if you're down in Florida, you go to Thomas Edison's house and you find out that when Napoleon Hill interviewed him, he said, you failed 10,000 times. Edison said, tut, 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 tut. I never failed. I ran out of ways that it wouldn't work, and God would ultimately give me the way that it would work. So I found out tungsten, so it was in a light bulb. And when I was in Vietnam, that's what we were really fighting for in Vietnam. That's the only place tungsten exists in South Vietnam. Did you know that?
No.
By the way, if our military and the government hadn't been lying to us, I think we would have gone over and fought the war a hell of a lot better. I mean, I'm willing to fight for tungsten, aren't you?
Yeah,
let's
absolutely
keep the lights on. And so if you go to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's house in Hyde Park, I went too far on this one, but her wall has her most famous statement. Eleanor said, nobody can reject me without my permission.
Yes.
And all of us get rejected, sometimes by our spouses.
Totally.
Sometimes by our kids.
I mean, do you think there's a way to actually, you know, achieve success outside of luck without, you know, facing massive rejection?
Nah, we all create our own experience. And what happens is you create it inside. That's why, you know, I got a whole set of tapes called Visualizing is Realizing, and I teach 7 steps on how to go on the stage of your imagination, how to go inside the theater of your mind. And what happens is I teach the whole principle that take one guy that every one of your listeners knows, and that is Sylvester Stallone, and I have his story in depth in there, but let me give you the distilled essence. He is a B-grade movie actor. He's nobody from nowhere. He's from Philadelphia. He ain't going to make it. And all of a sudden, one night, he's watching Muhammad Ali fight Webner, and he said, that's it. I'll write a play of American valor, courage, honor, and dignity. Goes in a room, and in 3 days, nonstop, writes this great play called Rocky. Goes to Hollywood to sell. The guy said, here's a check for $374,000. I'll buzz off. Sly Stallone said, if I'm not the lead in it, you don't get it, and rips up the check. Puts together $1 million, ends up making Rocky One, which, as you know, was the movie of the year, picture of the year, music of the year. And you look back at the lines that guy wrote in 3 days just because he decided to do it. And if you got 1% doubt, you're out. But the lines there are classic. To your listeners and to me and to you, this line is great. He's talking to the coach and he says, how do you become a champion? He said, you got to eat lightning and crap thunder. I mean, is there any more vivid statement that you've ever heard in your whole life?
Probably not.
I hope it doesn't offend anyone's pristine ears out there or the ecclesiastical sensibilities, but it's such a cool statement.
It is, totally. So it took you, I can't remember the exact number, but when you were going back to when you first started and you had, I don't know if you would consider it a major failure or setback or whatever, when you were living in somebody's hallway, in a sleeping bag or whatever, and you had listened to a tape by Cabot Roberts over 280 times where it finally clicked that you are the creator of your circumstances. What is it that causes somebody to finally come to the realization that where they're at financially, relationship-wise, emotionally, success-wise, with their children, whatever, that they created that, they're the creator of their existence and how it sits right now, and where they're going to be, you know, a year from today is solely based on the decisions that they make?
Exactly. Let me go to that place, because there's not one person listening that either isn't in the pits or has been in the pits. And every one of us gets to go there for one reason or another. And so you need to know that everybody else has been there too. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, I've been on her show 3 times, and she is my heroine, as it were. But I mean, here's a woman who delivered her first baby at 14, you know, and didn't want to. And, you know, was molested and all that, and has been abused, and was told that she was stupid, but she kept reading, and she kept writing in her journal, and she said, someday I'm going to be in a cover of TV Guide and Vanity Fair. And then, you know, she starts buddying up. She starts doing the right things. And now she is the biggest, brightest voice, makes $200 million a year with Harpo. And then all of a sudden, mad cow disease comes along, and she ends up having to fight the people for doing something that she ended up winning. But she's down in Texas 6 weeks, in court fighting the cattlemen. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. They were trying to defend their turf, and now beef is selling better than ever, so no problem as we go into the millennium. But the trip is, their wives of the cattlemen are coming in and watching her and meeting her and getting her to autograph. But every night she goes home, and she's feeling depressed and despondent because no one wants to get beat up in a lawsuit, and yet any of your people out there listening, if they get big, they're going to get sued because you become a target.
Exactly.
And it's unfortunate, but, you know, Oprah is eating her favorite meal, which is, do you know what her favorite meal is before I tell you?
I have no idea.
She loves cheese and macaroni, and she's cooking cheese and macaroni, and she beefs up 25 pounds. Well, all of a sudden, what happens? She gets called by Vanity Fair, and they say, we want you in the cover of our magazine. And she goes, oh, my God. So she calls her mastermind partner, Dream Team player that gets her physically fit, Bob Green, and says, Ay, we got 20 days, and I got to lose 20 pounds. So she's exercising from 5 in the morning to 6, and then 11 at night to 12. And everyone out there says, well, she's rich, so she can afford to do what she wants. Hello. We all have the same richness in time, 24 hours.
Yes.
You either make it count or don't. And I'm telling you that anyone running a $200 million empire has got more responsibility and more accountability than you and I do, because I'm running a pretty big empire here myself. You know, you got to figure out how to get more done in less time. You got to ephemeralize. And then you can decide what matters. And one of the things that matters is, Dan Sullivan, our good buddy, says, at first you trade your health for your wealth. And then later on, you got to pay all your wealth to get back your health.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, with my herb company and all that, I think four things cause health. Can I talk to that, Joe?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Number one, I think you got to think healthy. In quantum physics today, we know that when you tell yourself, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, at subcellular level, you go healthy at levels of quarks, bisons, and leptides. The coloration changes under 800,000 magnifications. Isn't that cool?
Yes, very cool.
Number two, you've got to exercise 6 days a week. And every entrepreneur has the same dilemma. They all say, I would, Joe, but I don't have the...
time.
Exactly. Now, has Oprah got any more time than you?
Nope.
She just gets more done in less time and thinks a little clearer. Now, the more you exercise, the better energy. And who's going to do better as an entrepreneur? Somebody high energy or low energy?
Definitely high energy.
And so you got to exercise. And Oprah's the only one telling the truth here. She says you got to age. When you hit 40, your body metabolism slows down a little bit. And, you know, I'm 51, so you got to exercise over 40, an hour and a half a day. As you get older, you need more exercise, which is the opposite of what you'd think. But if you don't believe that, all you got to do is go to Florida and look at all the shuffle footers down there that didn't exercise because they didn't know any better.
Yes.
And so, number three, you got to eat live, fresh food. You got to wake up with a fresh fruit plate every day because that sets your energy level for the day so you got rocket fuel in your body so you can skyrocket in. You can't start out with black acid called coffee and a donut and think you're going to be a high-energy superstar because at 10 o'clock you're going to go into doldrums or you're going to end up with, you know, insulin shock. And then the fourth thing is, which I'm sort of the master at, and we're willing to send any of your people free tapes if they just call Paula at 800-433-2393. We'll send them on tapes on the thing that causes 85% of the disease in America. Can I be rough for just a second?
Go right ahead.
Is your colon. Most people need a product we got. We got the best fiber product in the world, and it's the only fiber product in the world. You can't buy it anywhere else except from us that has both soluble and insoluble fiber. Most people that are entrepreneurs have so much stress, they're ascending. That's, you got a colon that looks like a sideways C. You got ascending, transverse, and descending, and then it goes to poo-poo. But the point is, we get so uptight. Like when I got my PBS show in 1984, and at that time Dr. Leo Biscay was a big thing, and he was making a fortune, I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be a big success. I couldn't go to the bathroom for a week. I was scared because, you know, the medical community didn't know what to do, and luckily I found out about colonics and got a colonic so I could go. Because if your exhaust system doesn't work, you're in deep trouble.
I think the subject that you're talking of, I mean, just health in general, is one of the most important ingredients to living a happy, productive life. If your health is shot, all the money in the world ain't going to do nothing for you.
Well, that's what I think. So what I'm saying is exactly what you're saying. And here's the way you know if you're healthy by looking at your stool. It's got to be a fluffy floater that's a foot long and about the thickness of your thumb where you bend your thumb. And it's got to be the length from where you bend your wrist to where you bend your elbow. And if you eat three times a day, you're supposed to go to the bathroom three times a day. But the fluffy floater is what you got to be, that's fawn colored, that's a foot long, is the four F's you got to look for to see if you're healthy. And if it ain't float, that means you ain't got enough fiber. And I'm talking straight from the American Cancer Society, which I do a lot of work with, is that the number one killer of Americans now is colon cancer. Doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm a woman, so it doesn't affect me. It affects you because you got the same problem. It used to be lung disease from too much cigarettes, and if you're smoking, get off it. because every cigarette costs 14 minutes of your life. And I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I'm just telling you the way you got to be looking at stuff.
No, I agree with you.
The point is your colon has got to do this peristaltic motion, and it's got to say bye-bye. And when I studied in India, you know, they blessed their poo-poo, and in America, how dirty, how disgusting. Somebody's sitting out there going, I didn't like this guy before, but now I really don't like him. It ain't me. It's you got to get clean and understand that your system, as long as it's toxic, is killing you. And you say, well, I'll take care of it later. No, you can't. There's no later. This is something you got to take care of every day, and you got to take in good nourishment. And, you know, we now know that if man takes salt palmetto, he can't get prostate. And you just don't want to become a eunuch later on in life. And 95% of men are going to have prostate problems because they're not getting enough salt palmetto.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of funny about that is, again, this is probably a subject or a topic that I had no earthly idea would come up on this interview with you, and I'm sure some of my listeners are sitting there going, wow, this is kind of interesting. However, it's very important, and I always say in regards to health, because when I do my boot camps and stuff, I do bring nutritional people in to talk about nutrition occasionally. I send out interviews and videos. You know, I send out a video with Bill Phillips, who I've done a lot of consulting with, on body of work, and I think that in regards to health and exercise, that if you don't take time out for it now to take care of your health now, you're going to take time out for it later. And
right, you either pay now or you pay later. This is an easy system to understand.
Exactly, and it's very important.
Pay at all? I mean, I'm telling you to take 50 cents worth of herbs, vitamins, and supplements a day and never get osteoporosis, never get arthritis. 25% of the people over 40 years old have bad backs. Why? Because they haven't taken glucosamine. Glucosamine rebuilds what we used to call joint space. God didn't make any joint space. He's got reticular membranes in there that work. And like this morning, a girl called me who, you know, my children are both adopted. They just happen to look like us. And this lady called and said, the doctor's given me the bad news, my birthing mother of my oldest daughter, and said, you know, I got MS, multiple sclerosis. And I said, look, if you'll take it, we got an herb called bee pollen, and what that does is that regrows the Malian sheath. Now, the Malian sheath is that thing between your cranium, the bone structure, and the brain. And you need one of those, but the nourishment is obviously not working. But the minute they start supplementing it and taking bee pollen, it regrows. That's the good news. The bad news is you got to take bee pollen for the rest of your life. But that ain't so bad. I mean, you know, are you willing to pay 25 cents a day to stay alive for as long as you're supposed to live and be healthy and be vibrant and be communicative and get great friends and build great businesses and, you know.
I would say that's a small investment.
Yeah, the Bible says take care of the little things and you'll have empires to rule. Isn't that a great line?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, Jesus said it, so if you don't like it, you know, complain to the big guy. Don't complain to him.
So what if we have a listener out there right now that's saying, well, yeah, that sounds great, and that's interesting, and he definitely piqued my curiosity, well, but what does that have to do with making money, being successful, and having a better business? What would you say to that?
Everything. I mean, if you haven't got your health, if suddenly tomorrow you're laid up in bed and you can't talk and you can't move, your business is dead, pal.
Exactly.
Adios. It's sayonara. It's goodbye. And you say, well, how long does it take you to study this stuff? I'm saying, look, I'll send you the tapes free. You listen to them. You make your own decision whether I'm blowing hot air or whether I know what I'm doing. I mean, I have not been sick in the last 5 years that I've been taking herbs. One of the herbs I take is called chloroplasma. It's pure chlorophyll. And what happens is chlorophyll is one atom different than your hemoglobin. And when you take it and your body is highly oxygenated, several things happen. You have high energy. Your immune system is strong. Bacteria can't get you, and you can't have any virus. Now, look, with the diseases we got today because of antibiotics, you can't afford to, and especially if your people are all in the people business, they're meeting people that have got to go, you get on airplanes, and the people are coughing and hacking, and they got flu. I travel 250,000 miles a year. I talk live to 250,000 people a year and do book signings and all that. I'm with people all the time, and I haven't got time to get sick or be sick. I got important work to do. I'm on a mission from God, like we said earlier.
Let me get this right. Did you say you have not gotten sick in 5 years?
Yep, and I don't plan on getting sick because I got stuff to do. I got to reforest the planet. Rylan, the world's greatest artist, and I are going to fish the sea, meaning so many people pulled out the fish. We're going to build fish habitats and do them commercially and for profit so everybody can make it a destination location and go and see how everything from, you know, ahi, which is tuna, to sharks are grown. Now, this is all in the theoretical stage, but remember I told you guys to write 101 goals. I've got 6,000 goals. I've hit 1,587, so a lot of people say, well, he can't refish the sea. Why not? You and I are supposed to take dominion over the earth, but that means be a good steward. It doesn't mean wreck it. And all the people out there listening, whether it's in the carpet business, the floral business, nail salon, travel, home remodeling, whatever it is that they're in, if you've got carpets, let's see if they can't be ecologically oriented. If we're florists, let's see if we can't do some more composting of our soil and get our people to compost soil. And if you're a florist, I want you to tell the people to plant three trees. We got to save the environment, and it's a each one teach one, each run reach run. If you're in a nail business, let's create some nail polish that is real and doesn't smell so bad that when somebody's putting it on in an airplane, you feel like you're going to get asphyxiated. In a travel business, you know, let's get everyone to go to all the great places of the earth. But when they're doing the great places, like when they go to Kona, let's have them go to the Nature Energy Labs where they take water from 2,000 feet underneath the sea and they spray it over Maine lobsters, and the Maine lobsters grow full bloom instead of a year in 1 year. And we can have enough, and all the waste from the Maine lobsters goes back into growing the plants, and all that cold water that comes in condenses and has free water, and they get free energy by the thermal differentials. And if you go to the Nature Energy Labs, rather than just get a suntan while you're there, you come back and go, holy cow, we could really feed, house, clothe, and take care of humanity.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I need all the entrepreneurs working at full blast, sort of like what Lee Iacocca said. It's immoral to let somebody 65 who's got great experience, you know, go retire. Don't retire. Get refired. Go to something cool, new, wonderful, and something that you've always wanted. Now, the only way you can do that is if you've written down your goals so you know where you really want to go.
Yep, exactly. Do you feel that the entrepreneurs are the people that are in the position to have the most impact and change the world more than anyone else?
Yep, absolutely. I think Bill Gates as an entrepreneur right now is more important to the world than the President of the United States. And the President is obviously the lead job, obviously. But Bill Gates is the first guy who's created a $1 trillion cap company. He said he'd do it by the end of this year, and he did it 4 months early. What does that mean? Last year, 33,000 people became millionaires because of Bill Gates. And now that antitrust is first of all, I don't like the antitrust thing. I know that I'm going to bruise somebody's thing, but this guy created it. And it wasn't a monopoly. They could have bought something from IBM or Apple. And you know, if you want, read Lester Thoreau's arguments in favor of Bill Gates. In any case, when this is all said and done, Bill Gates has bought 133 new companies, and he's going to take this thing skyrocketingly forward. You haven't even started to see Gates work yet. He'll be the first trillionaire. And once he breaks a trillion, do you remember who ran the four-minute mile? Roger Bannister?
Yes.
And when Bannister did it, the next day we had another guy beat his record, and next year 119 people did it. What I'm saying is that now that we got, I'm old enough to remember when $1 million was a lot, right? Now that a lot of us make over $1 million a year and multiple millions, but now there are guys making $1 billion a year, like Bill Gates is worth $100 billion. I'm telling you that when he breaks a trillion, he's setting a new standard, and a lot of people are going to say, I'm going to be a trillionaire. What does that mean? It means that there's going to be less have-notness, because every one of us entrepreneurs gets the workforce up, and right now our workforce is, we've got the lowest unemployment in U.S. history, 4%. When it's at 7%, we're considered to have a booming economy. I teach everyone to say, how's business? Business is booming, because if you think, talk, act, walk, smell, and feel like business is booming, then your business will, Joe.
Boom.
Is that easy or is that easy?
That's easy.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Because if you come into, oh, I haven't got any business, I can't get any, every time I get it, I lose it, and I'm such a schmo, then you're going to be a schmo. And no, you know, if you got wall of malnutrition, you come to sell me your deal, I'm going to say, go take a hike, Joe. Go get a life. Get real here. Everyone that's got to be great has got to apprentice to somebody great. I apprenticed to Buckminster Fuller at a lot of levels. I apprenticed to my partner, Dr. Jack Canfield, and he apprentices to me on marketing. Because, you know, in the book business right now, I've got to be considered, I guess, the number one marketer, because you and I have studied all the same people, and all of our friends are friends. Joe Sugarman and Jay Abraham, the world's greatest marketer, and all those guys, I'm close friends with all of them and keep studying, and I look at it and I talk to them and I say, look, this is what I've pulled off, plus it. Because that's what everybody out there wants, is how good is it that you can make it, and then talk to somebody else and say, what am I missing here? Where are my holes? Because when we interviewed the top 101 best-selling authors, one was Dr. Ken Blanchard, the guy who wrote a book I hope they all read called The One-Minute Manager.
Yep, great book.
Kenny said, look, guys, feedback is a breakfast of champions. What you need to do is have 100 people read your book and judge it. And then he turns over and he said, look, Dr. Peel and I have just written this book called The Power of Ethical Management. Would you guys please read it and give me your ideas? I wrote him a 12-page rebuttal saying, boys, you've done missed it. This is all the screw-ups. You got three major ones. I called up my partner, Jack. I read it to him, and I said, we're going to lose our friendship because I disagree with him vehemently and violently, and I think they've missed some serious cogitation here. I sent it off to them, and they called back and said, that was wonderful. Nobody else gave us that good feedback. And I can tell you right now, if you call Ken Blanchard, who's still alive, Peel died on his birthday last year at 98 years old on Christmas Eve. What a nice way to go.
Wow.
Holding his wife's hand. Anyhow, since then, we always have a study group. We write the book. We have about 250 stories. We send it out to about 100 people and say, look, be ruthless, be merciless. And in the first book, they all said, don't tell me to call my mother. I don't need you to moralize. So we said, whoops, there's a principle. We've been missing it. So we kissed that one goodbye. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to say, how do we make the best, finest product that everyone's going to love? And no one else got 26 consecutive bestsellers other than us.
That's true. What originally inspired you to write a book full of anecdotes and stories that teach lessons in life?
I get standing ovations. Jack would get standing ovations with great stories. And people said, you have that in the book. And we heard it so much, we said, whoops, we'll do it as a book. Jack came to me at breakfast one day and said, I'm doing a book called Happy Little Stories. I said, now there's the dumbest idea I ever heard. And then we use the principle I'd ask all your people to make sure they name their business right so they can brand to command. And, you know, we went into deep meditation. Both of us in our respective homes said 400 times as a mantra, mega best-selling title, mega best-selling title. And in your case, you got to do mega best-selling title for my company, the right exact title for my company. Come up with it and then make it smoke. Everyone's got to have an 800 vanity number. I mean, the top vanity number in the world is 800 flowers. The guy made $200 million profit his first year. Why? Because every husband goes home or boyfriend that goes, oh, I'm in the doghouse. I forgot the anniversary. I forgot the birthday. I'm a screw-up. I'm late. I tracked mud in the house last night. All of us have done that.
Yep.
Or you do it for your mother. So what do? You and your cell phone and the car phone, you immediately call 800 flowers. They get those out there within the next 20 minutes, and they do it. Is that a good number, or is that a good number?
That is a fantastic number.
The book I'm writing with Jay Abraham is called How to Grow Rich in Your Niche. Everyone has a niche.
Yes, they do. I've learned that, and I teach that, and it's so important because you become a specialist as opposed to a generalist. Not that you can't. Obviously, in your case, you can really branch this out. But the fact is, you're actually, with your books, all the different categories, you're hitting a niche, and you're hitting a chord in people's hearts. You've determined just through what it is that people are really interested in, what it is that inspires people in different categories.
Well, let me talk to that two ways. One is, you know, you got to do horizontal marketing, which is, in our case, we got books 1 through 6. Like a 6-bowl of chicken soup. And then you do vertical marketing where we've taken over the teenage market, the college market, the women's market, chicken soup at the surviving soul, a hard one ways to beat cancer market. You know, no one's ever tried to do that and then see how deep you can go. Then the second part is that at one time, Perrier owned the whole water business in America. And then all of a sudden they somehow got benzene, which killed people, I guess. I don't know if it really killed people, but benzene's a poison. I know that. And all of a sudden the scare went out so nobody would drink Perrier. Well, the niche marketing of San Pellegrino, they went to all the waiters and gave them trips to Hawaii or whatever they needed, and they said, look, next time you come into this fine Italian restaurant and you sit down with me, Joe, you say, would you mind having a bottle of San Pellegrino with that? And so all of a sudden the Perrier thing came along, and Pellegrino is ready because they've been niche marketing. They just blew it up to the top, and they became the number one water company doing $4 billion a year in about a year's time. Is that cool?
Very cool.
What that means is several things. You got to have be inscrutable like the Chinese and patient, but you got to have thought through your market, because every market's going to have a hiccup, and when it has a hiccup, walk in, don't walk in, run in, and jet in, and take over the dang market.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think was the most important thing that you guys did? Because you got, 33 rejections in the beginning with publishers before you actually did get an actual publisher. I mean, what do you think was the most important thing you did early on in order to launch Chicken Soup for the Soul?
We read all the books in our industry. There's always only 7 key books in any industry. There's only 100 key people to play with in any industry. You find who the big players are, you network, you mastermind, then you decide to be outrageous, to outdo them. We interviewed all of them, wrote down their ideas, did 1,094 yellow stickies on the wall. We prioritized it, wrote a wall of a business plan. Now, understand that was now 7 years ago. So now what we've done is we've written what we call a kick-ass business plan. And our kick-ass business plan is by 2020, our perfect 2020 vision, is to sell 1 billion books, because no one's ever done it in the self-help action field, and we're going to be the first, and we're literally going to do it world around. There's a principle, the 100th Monkey Principle by Ken Kies. It says, you know, when enough people get the idea, everybody gets it, and we want everybody to get the idea that we're trying to change the world one story at a time. And we want every one of your people to have one of our books on their desk, one at home, one in the bathroom, and we just want them to read one story a day. And then if you got kids or a spouse, husbands, listen close here. My partner says this is the best foreplay possible, because when you read an opening heart story, it makes the lady feel more intimate and more involved and more like you're paying attention, which unfortunately most of us men are dunderheads at that level. I'm talking to myself because I got all women working with me.
It's great advice. It really is. There's so much amazing knowledge in your head, and you're such a resource of great information for people.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask you, because we're liable to have this interview end without me asking you if you do have a favorite story, or if there's any particular story that you're aware of as a result of someone reading the book that has, like, just been the most amazing thing that you've seen happen? I mean, do you have a favorite story? I mean, I don't know if that's...
Two real quick. We get a letter from a prisoner who said, "Dear Mark and Jack, I've been in a slammer 5 years, contemplating the ideal crime, killing the guy who put me here. My sister sent me your book, and I read it 6 times. When I get out of the slammer in 5 more years, I no longer want to kill that guy. I no longer want to hurt myself, do injury to the prison guards or other inmates." I mean, that's a major perceptional shift.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying, is that one story can do that. And right now we're writing Chicken Soup for the Entrepreneurial Soul, so we want all your people to send me their best stories, or send Jack your best stories, because we want everyone in America to know that you got two choices. You're either, as Dan Sullivan said, be a bureaucrat or an entrepreneur.
Yep.
And the choice in America is you've got to be an entrepreneur. You got to create massive value. I mean, before I talked to you, I was talking to somebody up in Canada, and they've got downsizing going crazy up there where people are getting fired. That's a nice euphemism for you're fired. Here's your pink slip. And what happens is you got to know that you're going to go through 7 or 8 jobs. Why not create your own job? And for college kids, I'm saying, why not? Why would you go through college and wash dishes? If you're supposed to be so damn smart and you're getting to be an MBA in marketing and that, why don't you go through school and make yourself rich while you're going to college? And I've done 12 stories, one of which is going to be on Michael Dell. I mean, here's a little kid who says computer parts are cheap. They're about $300. They're selling these for $1,000. I'll just discount them. I'll start Dell Computer. His parents come in when he's a senior graduating and say, "Now, Mikey, you're a good boy here, and you're going to go on to medical school." And he says, "I'm sorry, but last year my little fraternity all worked for me, and we did $1 billion selling computer parts out of my fraternity." Did you know that he did that?
No.
And his parents didn't know either.
Wow.
Isn't that a good story?
Very good.
See, because this whole thing of let's get rich in America, my daughter can figure out how to buy her own horse. If you know what you want, your subconscious will figure out how. H-O-W. The Bible says God didn't use ways or past finding out. You don't have to know how it's going to get done. You just need to know that it's going to get done. A lot of your listeners are going to figure out how to sell some of my books with their stuff. I'm all for it. And they'll send me a letter, and we'll figure out how to answer it. And if it works, we'll work it. And, you know, it'll be another profit thing, because they go, "Holy cow, this guy's really wise and helpful and insightful." And what I want to do for you, letting us do carpet business or doing your flowers, or, you know, the florist will pack our books with the flower baskets or whatever, you know, or the travel agents will say, "Well, for doing all this travel, we think," or the nail salon people, what they could do is say, "Look, well, I'm doing your nails, or your hair's getting dry. I want you just to read one story, and if you want on the way out, we'll just put it on the bill and you'll have the book." I can tell you that no one will read one of these stories without going, "I got to have that book." And now the person selling nails just earned an extra $6.50. Is that good or is that good?
That's very good. Actually, that's a great idea. And I will say this to all the listeners, that they're all very keen on how to do referral rewards and things, because that's what I teach them to do in my marketing strategies. And the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series and all the different categories would be fantastic referral rewards to anyone that gives you a referral. And anytime someone gives you business, send them a copy. Say thank you very much. Pass this on to everyone you know. Tell others to read it. And it just adds to the cause, which is all very good.
Yeah, and everybody wins, because here's what we learned. Our friend Ken Blanchard wrote a book called Raving Fans. And Raving Fans says that either you do less than they expect, you do what they expect, or you do more than they expect. And if you do the little extra, that's all the extra for lavishing sake, and they love you, now they become raving fans. And they say, "Look, this is the person you hire for this. This is the person that I have do my nails. Whatever it is, this is the person that does my travel. This is my florist. This is who remodels my home and did just a spectacular job and did my cabinets, and I need you to hire them." That's what you want. And what happens is they become raving fans when they get bonded emotionally, because people don't buy logically, they buy emotionally.
Yes, very true.
Let me prove that. I do work with all the great companies and associations and governments and everything, but one of the companies I work with is Deloitte Touche. They're an accounting firm, and I'm doing their stealth division. This is the company that figures out how to prevent electronic stealing of all that money that's shooting through your head and my head and everybody listening's head. And I'm doing the 40 women who do $3 billion of business a year. They're all CPAs, and they say, "Well, we buy logically." I said, "No kidding." I had a leader stand up in front. I said, "Tell me about the new house that you just bought." And she says, "You won't believe it. The living room's so big, you got to have a sit-down vacuum cleaner on it. It's got a picture window that the deer come up my lawn off the golf course in the morning." You know, she just goes on and on. I said, "Okay, everybody here, did she just do that? Was that logical or was that emotional?" And they all go, "Emotional," and she just melted back into her seat. Because what happens is we lie to ourselves that we're all logical, you know, that we're all Dr. Spock out of Star Trek. No one's a Dr. Spock, not even a CPA, not a lawyer, not anyone. All of us have a heart.
Yes, so true.
And people buy with their heart. You sell with logic, but you seal the deal with emotion.
Yes. What is your definition of marketing?
Well, first of all, I say you got to market the right product to the right audience at the right time, in the right way, for the right price. First of all, selling is a Danish word, actually. It means to serve. And obviously, the greatest amongst you serves the most, the big guy said, and then you get the most rewards. Napoleon Hill said, the quantity of service plus the quality of service with a positive mental attitude equals unlimited compensation. The principle here of smart marketing is, when you are a smart marketer and you figure out what the market wants before they know, like we did with Chicken Soup, you end up becoming rich, famous, successful, a superstar, and you source and serve, and then you get the privilege of doing what I've been asking you to do throughout this whole great interview that we've had, and that is you get to do the stuff that nobody else has ever thought of doing that'll make everybody better off and no one worse off. And now, if you do it from a spiritual point of view and you give in secret, you're rewarded openly. It's amazing, because if you give, well, I want everyone to know and give me credit, then you're done for. But if you give it secretly, then God knows that you've done it, and you get all kinds of rewards. So make it your magnificent obsession to become financially free and independent, so you can go out and participate at levels of the game that no one else is participating in, or only a few of us are so far, and all of us can be.
Yes, and the reason that I brought that up is because if people just look at the obvious of what you're saying, with the people respond emotionally, and they look at what you've done with Chicken Soup for the Soul, which hits an emotional chord with all people, I mean, that's a perfect, obvious example of how you need to approach people in order to get it not only into their heads, but into their hearts, and build that rapport that is so necessary, not only for business, but just relationships in general.
Yeah, so to be a master salesperson, I'm telling you, you got to be a master storyteller and seller. And memorize your stories and make sure you do them and tape record them, and then have somebody that's a better closer, a better storyteller than you are, listen to you and help you improve. And then tape record the best people's sales stuff and learn from everyone. You know, write down the names right now of 10 people that, you know, have a mission in their commission that are making more money than you ever heard of. If you're making six figures, you want to be hanging out and studying the people that are making a quarter million, half million, and a million. And if you're making a million, you want to go to the people that are starting to make a decimillion. What happens is you always hang out with somebody that's doing more than you. And can I give my example of that?
No, please.
Tony Robbins and I get to talk to 9,000 doctors at NASA Coliseum. It's late at night. He's finished. He's been brilliant. He's 32 years old. This is like 7 or 8 years ago. He's just made $131 million on his infomercial the year before. And I go, it's not 12:45 at night, and we're back at the hotel right before he's going to take his little Learjet and fly back home to California. And I said, you're making over 100 times what I'm making, and I'm missing something. We're teaching the same principles. What am I missing? He said, tell me who's in your mastermind dream team. I said, well, they all make $1 million a year. He said, there's your problem. I went, whoa, tell me about yours. He said, everybody makes over $100 million. I said, I got it. The next day, Jack and I got four billionaires to join our mastermind. Now, you're sitting out there going, well, why would a billionaire need me? Everybody needs everybody, and what you got to do is decide what they need that you got that they ain't got. And a lot of people that are billionaires, in my case, need to know how to write a book or think different or be better communicators or stand up and speak, or they know that I'm pretty good at marketing, so they say, well, would you help me with some marketing advice, or, you know, help me think forward on this, or, because I studied in graduate school, the guy who did 50 and 100 year plans on this new set of tapes that, you know, how to think bigger than you ever thought you could think. I'm showing the first Japanese plans ever shown in America for 100 year plans, and everyone should have one. See, here's the deal. The minute you write a 100 year plan, your subconscious starts to figure it out, and what most people do is they hit their 100 year plan in 5 or 10 years. Because the subconscious doesn't know time, so it just figures out how to do it. Is that cool?
Yeah, and, yeah, very cool and very right. Let me talk to you about the dream team and mastermind and everything. I have a coaching program, and my experience, all my Piranha members that make the most money, have the most free time, and the most enjoyable, profitable business, and the happiest clients are all people, for the most part, that are part of my Piranha Mastermind coaching program, because they associate with successful, like-minded people and are constantly putting themselves in the position to brainstorm with other individuals.
Right.
And, you know, me and you know Dan Sullivan, who is one of the greatest coaches and masterminders on the planet. How important do you feel that is for everyone?
Totally critical. The number one thing I see lacking for most business people is they need to have a mastermind partner that is as good as they are or better at doing what they want to do. That'll help give them a hand up, not a handout. That'll be dependable. That'll have a core competency different than them.
Fantastic. I mean, that's absolutely crucial, and I preach that to all my members. So you obviously have proven through your success that associating with the brightest people on the planet allows you to do what you do and get better, and that's how everyone just grows. I mean, I talk about it all the time that
You know, there's three ways to learn something. You can learn through the school of hard knocks and through your own experience, which is probably the most painful way to learn something. Secondly, you can learn through the experiences of other people, through either masterminding with successful people or reading books or listening to tapes, such as the one we're doing right now, where everyone listening is learning through the experiences of others. And the third way to learn something is you teach it to other people, which is why I got into the teaching business, because I wanted to help not only other people, but I wanted to help myself. And the more that I improve by teaching other people, the more I'm able to share with other people, and it just is, it's an ongoing process. So let me ask you one final question, Mark. If today was your last day here in this life form and you had to impart your most profound wisdom on the world right now, this minute, what would be the single most profound bit of wisdom that you would want to share that would have the most impact on the most people?
It'd have part A and B. A is you got to know exactly what you want, and it's got to be in writing, and B is you've got to have a dream team. And if I could help everyone out there, I've got a whole video on how to create your mastermind and become super successful, because everybody that ever has been successful has a mastermind partner. He or she may be invisible to you, but they have to exist or you can't. If you don't have one right now, what you got to do is just write as one of your 101 goals, theoretically, who you want that would be unique where you're weak, and then just go for it with vim, vigor, vitality, and gusto, and it'll happen.
Great. Now, let's do this, because I would love to interview you again at a future date, because there's so much that we could talk about. You have so much knowledge, and I want to be able to have the readers be able to get access to all of this information, because I know that you're really going to get a lot of my listeners very curious and very interested in proving themselves in all kinds of different areas, and you obviously are a huge resource. So how can the listeners get more information from you? Website, phone number?
Yep, let's do that. Our website is www.chickensoup.com. Our phone number is 800-433-2314. Our address we've given, either if I can't answer your letter, one of my staff will. So we want to stay in touch.
Perfect. So, Mark, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. This was great. You are definitely just filled with great advice and great information. And to all the listeners, let me know what you thought of this interview. And I'm going to ask Mark to do another interview with me in the future. Let me know what you thought of this one and what the most profound things that he had to say. Please send me a fax or a letter and stay in touch. And until next time, eat your competition alive. This is Joe Polish.
If you would like additional information on how to receive more educational tapes designed specifically to improve your profits and productivity, then call the Piranha Support Team and get signed up on the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape of the Month. Then you will never be at a loss for the best marketing and management information in the industry. The number is 480-858-0008. The fax is 480-858-0004. Or visit Joe's website at www.tapeofthemonth.com to see a list of all the interviews Joe has available. As Joe Polish would say, eat your competition alive.